This morning, we are finally concluding our fall series in the book of Proverbs. And just to give you an idea of where we're going from here, next Sunday begins the Advent season, okay? So what we're going to do, our Advent series, the whole theme of it is joy to the world, and we're going to be studying through the book of Philippians throughout December. And then when you come back from New Year's in January, we are going to study, as we're preparing for two services, we're going to study the book of Jonah together. I'm really excited for that. I hope you guys are pumped. But this morning, we get to close out the Proverbs series and look at the most important topic of all the topics addressed in the book of Proverbs. This morning, we get to look at the most important one. And that is the heart. The heart. And what we're going to do is we're going to primarily focus on one verse in the book of Proverbs, and it's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, which is on page 530 in the Bibles under your chair, which is, that Bible's our gift to you if you don't have one. But let me just read Proverbs 4, 23 to you. It says this: keep or guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. You know, this verse is especially important to me personally. This summer in August, I went through a season. It wasn't really serious, but many of you can understand. I went through kind of like a dry season. You ever had one of those seasons in your walk with the Lord where you just feel dry? You just feel kind of distant from Him. You're not distant because you know you're an adopted child of God and that you're never any more or less distant from God, but you feel distant from Him. You feel cold. You know, you try to open His Word and it just doesn't come alive to you. Maybe some of you may be in that season right now. It's just dry. It's just cold. You don't know what's going on. Your heart is just not intimate with the Lord. And that's what happened to me in August. And what happened to me, and it probably happens to some of you when you're in a season like this, is your temptations, your pet sins, begin to just look so good. Because your heart is just drawn away from the Lord, and those sins, they look so appetizing. Because your heart's grown a little cold to the Lord. And so I did what I usually do when my heart begins to grow cold. I went looking for a good sermon to listen to. Because one of the very few drawbacks of my job is that though I'm always preaching, I'm very rarely sitting under good preaching. And so one of the things I try to do is I try and listen to at least one sermon every week from somebody else. And so I was feeling a little cold, and so I went online and I started looking for a sermon. I came across a sermon by a Bible scholar named Wayne Grudem. And the sermon was just simply called "Keep Your Heart with All Vigilance." I was like, well, this seems to be exactly where I'm at. So I listened to the sermon, and I'll be totally honest with you. This man, Wayne Grudem, is not an especially gifted preacher, in my opinion. He's not like one of those people, like some of you have probably heard a preacher or two like this, where they get up in front of you and they just, like, you cannot stop listening to them. You know, and the rest of us are like, that's the gift I want. They're just up there and they preach and you're gripped by it. And you're like, this is just so amazing. You're moved in your heart no matter really what the content is. Sometimes that gift can be a little dangerous. He doesn't really have that gift. He's really more of a brilliant scholar, but this sermon was the most powerful sermon I have ever heard. It just captured my heart. The Holy Spirit captured my heart through it in a way that has never happened before when I listened to a sermon. And so what I began to do was study that text, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. And this morning, as we conclude the Proverbs series, what we're going to do is simply walk through some of the things that the Lord has shown me as I've studied this text in depth since listening to that sermon in August. And so I want you to know right from the get-go that credit needs to go where credit is due. Though this sermon's completely different from Wayne Grudem's sermon, and I have a different outline, different emphases, I'm so influenced by his teaching on this subject, and I would encourage you, you know, search for that sermon. It's really, really good. So this morning, as we move through this verse, what we're going to do is we're going to answer three questions that really popped into my mind as I began studying this passage. The first question is, what is the heart? So it says, guard your heart with all vigilance. Well, what's your heart? What is your heart? How do we guard our hearts? And why must we guard our hearts? That's what we're going to look at. What is the heart? How do we guard our hearts? Why must we guard our hearts? So the first question is, what's the heart? What is your heart? You know, when you come across a verse that says, guard your heart with all vigilance, the very first thing you've got to figure out is, what in the world is the heart? Because apparently it's a really big deal. Okay, but many of us, we come to this text and we're like, we don't even know what our heart is. You know, some of you ladies, like you grew up in youth group, so you read this verse and you go, I know what this verse is about. It means that I'm not supposed to get too excited when I first start dating guys, you know, because that's what your youth group leader always told you. And that's somewhat true, but it's like, so you read this verse and you go, oh yeah, yeah, that's right. I have to wait 6 dates before I smile because I'm not to get too excited yet. And that's what your application of this verse is. And it's a little bit bigger than that. You know, it's just a little bit more. But I mean, really, it's important to know. I mean, imagine for a moment you got a new job. Okay, let's say you got a job at a bank and you're a security guard and they tell you, okay, look, your boss comes to you and says, you have one job here, one job only. Everything is focused on this one thing. I want you to guard the vault with your whole life. With all your vigilance, guard the vault. Guard the vault. And then your boss just walks away and you're supposed to start. And imagine if you just didn't know what a vault was. You know, it's like you walk up to the teller and you stand behind her and you go, are you doing okay? You doing okay? You doing okay? And she turns around. She's like, why are you looking over my shoulder? And you're like, well, I thought maybe your name was Vault. You know, it's like that could be that's the way many of us approach a text like this. So we got to know, what in the world is the heart? And Proverbs really conceives of the heart in at least 4 ways. At least 4. And the first one is that the heart is often in Proverbs thought of as the mind. Your intellectual capacity. So Proverbs 3:3 says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. And then it says, write them on the tablet of your heart. So in this case, Proverbs conceives of the heart as something that if you were to memorize something intellectually, it'd be akin to writing it on your heart. So it's kind of like your mind. But it's not just your mind. The heart is more than the mind, because Proverbs 15:15 says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. So your heart's not just your mind, it's also your emotions. It's your emotions. So it's your heart, but it's also your heart's your mind, but it's your emotions as well. And then thirdly, Proverbs conceives of our heart as our will, kind of like our personal will. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways. So backsliding is this decision of the will to turn from walking in obedience to Jesus and follow some other gods. It's an act of the will. And Proverbs says, yeah, that's your heart also. It's your mind. It's your emotions. It's your will. But maybe most often, Proverbs conceives of the heart as the whole of our inner being. It's the whole of our inner being. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So this verse conceives of trusting in the Lord with all your heart as leaning all of who you are, everything that's most deeply true about you, on the Lord. That's your heart. Wayne Grudem puts it this way, and I think he's exactly right. He says, the heart really includes all of your deepest moral and spiritual convictions, along with your feelings and emotions, especially your deepest moral and spiritual convictions in relationship to God. So your heart is talking about what's really deep inside of you, what makes you you and who you are. So when Proverbs says, guard your heart with all vigilance, what it's saying is, guard that inner you in relationship to God, that thing that is most important and most true about you. Guard it with all vigilance. So that's what the heart is. So then the second question, of course, is, well, then how do I guard my heart? How do I do that? It's a really important question. How do we then guard this treasure, this heart of ours? And I think that the answer to the question lies, obviously, in these verses, but you have to look at these verses really carefully. So notice what what it says. It says, guard or keep your heart. That's the first thing it says. And I'm not by any means a Hebrew scholar, but I did a lot of digging into the Hebrew of this phrase. And this word guard, this verb, can also be translated preserve, maintain, or, and I like this, protect from imminent danger. So when we guard our hearts, before we can really understand how, we need to understand what this verse is saying. It's saying you need to protect your heart, that there is imminent danger for your heart all around you, all the time, but you have to protect it. Now, the most important thing, though, in understanding how to guard your heart is this next phrase. It says, guard your heart with all vigilance. And the Hebrew here, the most sort of wooden literal way to read it, really says above all guarding. So it says, guard your heart above all guarding. Guard your heart above all guarding. So I think there are at least six implications when we understand that this verse is saying, guard your heart above all guarding of everything. I think there are at least six implications then of how we very practically in our day-to-day lives guard our hearts. So six ways to guard your heart. The first one is, according to this verse, you need to make your heart your first priority. You have to make your heart your first priority. This verse says, guard your heart above every other possible type of guarding you could ever do. And in his sermon, Wayne Grudem, he goes through a list of things we guard. You know, he says, you know, what do you do when you get out of your car? You lock your car, so more than you guard your car, guard your heart. But I think it goes a bit even deeper than that. Think about the things you really guard. How many of you in this room are students? Okay, a lot of you. We will miss you during part of December. You guys guard your grades, especially those of you that are out of undergrad into graduate school. You really guard your grades. You look after them. You watch over them. You keep them. You protect them. You spend a lot of your time on them. And Proverbs says, more than you guard your grades and your future career, you need to guard your heart. For some of you, that may mean that you need to risk getting a slightly lower grade in order to give greater time to guarding your heart. I know some of your parents will kill me for saying that. That's okay. Just give them my email. It's tim@citylightphilly.com. No, but you've got to guard your heart. And, you know, honestly, when I was in seminary, I came up against this hard. Because seminary was tough, you know, you got to learn Greek and Hebrew and read thousands of pages and all this stuff. And I said, Lord, I'm going to guard my heart more than I guard my grades. And I'm straight up honest with you, I got some supernatural grades in seminary. It's supernatural. I did not work enough to get some of those grades. And I believe that God was being faithful. It's like we guarded our hearts. He was faithful. Some of you have jobs. You guard your job. Like someone's about to move in front of you on the corporate ladder and you kill them. Like you guard your job. And Proverbs says, more than you guard your job, more than you guard your career, are you guarding your heart? Are you guarding your heart? Some of you, man, you guard your time. Some of you, you're in that category. You guard your time. It's like, don't mess with my time. My time is my own. I protect it. I put parameters around it. Some of you put parameters around it for recreation. Like, I'm part of the Manayunk Running Club, which I love. It's so much fun. And then some of my running friends, they guard their running time. Okay? And some of you, I know you think that's crazy. That's like guarding a heart attack to you or something. But it's like they guard it. They don't miss a training run. And Proverbs says that's fine, but more than you guard your running, guard your heart. I mean, some of you have children. You guard your children, right? Look both ways. Buckle your seatbelt. Stop the incessant desire to electrocute yourself. You know, you guard your kids. Proverbs says even more than you guard your children, guard your heart. I mean, one of the greatest gifts that some of us have is we have a marriage. I love to guard my marriage. You know, we pray together, we read scripture together, we go out on date night, we communicate even when it's tough. Proverbs says, more than you guard even your marriage, you've got to guard your heart. So the first way you guard your heart is by making it your very first priority. And that should reflect itself in time, in the amount of time you devote to your heart. Second way to guard your heart is you need to guard your heart constantly. If you're going to guard your heart with all vigilance, or above all guarding, you got to guard your heart constantly. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I love heist movies. I love them, okay? I know, it's just, you didn't want to know that about me, but here it is, free information. I love heist movies. I absolutely love them. And they're one of the very few genres of movies that maybe once a year I can get Andrea to watch. I love heist movies. Andrea just hates movies altogether. Can you believe that? I know. So, but one of the things that happens in every heist movie that if it's, you know, relatively new and has a lot of new technology, you guys know this, is anytime early in the movie you have a scene in which the camera comes into a security room where there are monitors everywhere that are piping in security camera feeds, you can rest assured that later in that film, what will happen is that a crime will be going on, and the person who's supposed to be watching those monitors will get distracted, even if it's just for a moment, and that will be like the linchpin for that crime actually going off without a hitch. It just happens constantly. He watches it with all vigilance, and then it's like 30 seconds, he does it, and boom, the whole movie blows up. I love it. I love it. But some of us, that's how we are with our hearts. We take our hearts, and for a season, man, we just watch them closely. We pray. We read scripture. We confess sin. We're really involved in the city group. We come to worship every Sunday. We watch our hearts. And then we just subtly drift into seasons where we don't watch our hearts at all. We just kind of, oh, I'll take a break from reading my Bible. We never intend to take a break for that long. But then one day after another day after another day, and then just slowly and subtly our hearts begin to drift. And then we wonder, why do I feel so cold toward the Lord? Why don't I feel that closeness, that intimacy? And it's because we guarded our hearts with all vigilance for a certain amount of time. But if you're going to guard your heart with all vigilance, you have to watch it all the time. This is especially poignant for me with the holidays coming. The holidays are the hardest time of year for me to guard my heart. And it's not because I'm a Grinch and don't like Christmas. I love Christmas. It's just that around Christmas time, I'm with family and I'm off of my usual routine. And I sometimes don't get up early in the morning and spend time with the Lord. And my heart starts to drift. Some of you, maybe you experience that. This week, it's Thanksgiving. You may get tempted that way. If you're going to guard your heart, you don't just guard it with all vigilance sometimes, all the time. A third way we guard our hearts is to get to know our hearts. If you're going to guard your heart, you have to get to know your heart. And this takes us from having just individual times with the Lord to walking with the Lord in sort of conscious awareness of his presence all the time. I think that's the way to get to know our hearts. Because then when you're doing that, you know what it feels like to walk very intimately with the Lord. And so you can tell when your heart's beginning to go astray. You know, another thing, if you want to get to know your heart, is you need to get to know the outward signs of your heart beginning to drift so that you can bring it back quickly. So I don't know what that will be for you, but for many people, the outward signs of their heart beginning to drift of a certain personality, let's say like mine, is anxiety. Anxiety is just this tall tale sign that your heart is beginning to drift from trusting in the Lord. So it could be anxiety or fear. Now, if you're of a slightly different persuasion, you may find your heart beginning to drift, and the tall tale sign is anger. You're easily irritated. You get frustrated, like everyone around you is a total moron. That's when you know, my heart's starting to drift. And for almost everyone, I find, especially those of us in our 20s and 30s, lust is a primary sign when, you know, that when pornography or fornication or something like that's starting to look really good, that's when you know, my heart's just starting to drift. And so we have to get to know our hearts so that when they start to drift, we don't let them drift for so long. You know, we confess our sin quickly and move back into that experiential intimacy with the Lord. We need to get to know our hearts. Fourth way that you can guard your heart is don't pollute your heart. Don't pollute your heart. You know, I find that many of us, we pollute our hearts with really good things that we just overdo. That's how what I find. I find that sometimes the most tempting things that pollute my heart, draw my heart away from intimacy with Jesus, are really good things that I just give way too much of a primary place. Like, so for example, if you're like me and you're like hyper type A, that can be your job. You know, your job's a good thing. It's awesome that God's blessed you with a job that you like and that you enjoy and it's meaningful and you help people through it. That's great. But you can take that job and make it an idol and spend your whole life on it, get your whole identity from it, have it define you such that if it were to go away, you'd wonder, who in the world am I? That's a good thing that's just run amok. And you've polluted your heart. Your heart's been drawn away from the Lord. For some of you, maybe you're a little bit different from me, it's technology. Technology is a great thing, okay? Especially for those of you that you work in like the tech industry, thank you. We're all grateful. Just keep at it, you know, keep working. It's awesome. I love it. There's so many different ways that we can actually make disciples and spread the gospel through the use of technology. I love it. But some of us, man, we just take it too far. And so we don't have time to spend time with the Lord because we're always either playing games online or surfing the web or something. The phone's always in hand. We're always texting, whatever it happens to be. And so our hearts are just slowly and subtly drawn away from the Lord because we fill all that possible time with him with technological noise. Technology is a good thing. It just can become a bad thing. So you need to know. You need to know, what is it that draws my heart away? Like recently, I know you guys are going to think I'm a prude when I say this. This is going to be like when I was talking about, what's that movie, Bridesmaids, when I was like, oh, man, I watched that movie and it was horrible, and some of you are like, what was wrong with that movie again? Yeah, it had problems. But listen, for me, recently, this happened with the website BuzzFeed. I know, you're like, what are you going to say wrong about BuzzFeed? I love my cat videos. Like, please don't take those from me. Look, I'm not trying to be a legalist. You can do what you want to do under the conviction of the Spirit with BuzzFeed. But for me, it started very simply. You know, I'm on Facebook and I see like hilarious GIFs about, you know, cats stealing rugs away from dogs. Have you guys seen that? That's hilarious. I just thought that was so funny. The cat's like running around and the dog's chasing him. He's like, bring me back my... It's like, just bite the stupid animal, for goodness sake. It's a cat. It doesn't deserve to live. You know, it's like, I'm serious. You know, when cats like nuzzle up against your leg, they're trying to trip you. Okay, that's what they're doing. But so, you know, it starts very innocently. You're just laughing at BuzzFeed videos. But then it started to go astray. I'd go on the website, I'd laugh at the videos, no problem. But then I was like, oh, there's these other articles over here on the side. They're not so funny. They have videos in them and content in them that really just begins to draw my heart away, and I felt so tempted to look at them. It's like, I don't know why, it just looks so good. It's like, Miley Cyrus has made herself an idiot again. And I'm like, oh man, I should look at that. And my heart I just felt like it was subtly being drawn away. And so I just told Andrea, I was like, look, I'm not strong enough. I can never go on this website again. So I just, because it's polluting my heart. I'm not trying to be a legalist. You do what you want with that website. I'm just simply saying, what is it that draws your heart away? The way you guard your hearts by, in part, avoiding those things. A fifth way that we can guard our hearts is feed your heart healthy food. Feed your heart healthy food. I mean, this is just simply those old-fashioned spiritual disciplines of praying every day. You know, reading scripture every day, reading good books, listening to life-giving music, going on a walk and praising God because, you know, I don't know if you ever do this, but sometimes I'll go on a walk and I'll just pick up a leaf and I'll look at it and I just think, this is amazing. Like, there are a myriad of galaxies in this universe. I can't even fathom it. And God's also created this leaf. And the leaf has all these little ridges going through it. And imagine all the protons, electrons that just make up this leaf. And you're just walking, and all of a sudden, your heart's like singing. Maybe you haven't experienced this, but it's amazing. You know, you're like, this leaf is extraordinary. It is. You know, you're just nourishing your heart. This can be spending time with godly people. So you're getting into a city group. You're getting into a discipleship group. Maybe it's, you know, you're giving faithfully to the Lord, you're serving the poor, you're sharing the gospel. Just nourish your heart with healthy food. And then lastly, and I had to say this because it's just so me, and I found a verse for it, so it's great. But if you want to guard your heart, you got to rejoice often. You got to rejoice often. Proverbs 15:15, just listen to this. It says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast." You know, it's Thanksgiving week, so it's a nice opportunity. But this should be the way that we guard our hearts all the time is by rejoicing in all the amazing gifts that God has given us, especially the gift of his Son. You want to care for your heart? You want to guard your heart from cynicism? You want to guard your heart from all this negativity? You want to keep yourself from writing Facebook posts you're going to regret later? Rejoice often. Rejoice often. It will protect your heart. And lastly, now the question is, why? Why must we guard our hearts? I mean, honestly, if you're like me, you look at this and you go, that's kind of a lot of work. Why? Why should I guard my heart above all guarding? Why should I give it such special attention? Why should I make it my number one priority? Let's look at the second phrase in Proverbs 4:23. "For from it flow the springs of life." We have to guard our hearts because everything that we say and everything that we do flows from the spring of our hearts. Our heart is the source of all of our living. Everything you do in marriage, everything you do with your children, every word that you say to your roommate, every attitude that you act upon, it all flows from your heart. That's why you have to keep your heart above all else, because from your heart is going to flow your whole life. And I'll be just totally honest with you. One of the terrifying things about Proverbs is to think about what happened to the heart of the person who wrote it. You guys know who wrote most of Proverbs? Solomon. That's right. And he did not guard his heart late in life. And it became toxic to the people around him. You know, we guard our hearts because out of it flow the springs of life, but we have to guard our hearts also because if you don't, your heart can become toxic to those around you. Listen to what happened to Solomon. This is 1 Kings 11:4. "For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Okay, so we've seen what the heart is. We've seen how to guard our hearts. And now we're looking at why we guard our hearts. And certainly it's because out of our hearts flow our whole lives, but it's also because even the wisest among us. So this is a king sage, and his heart got drawn away after other gods late in life because he was vigilant to guard his heart only for a season, and his heart became toxic, and it all flowed down to his children, and his children literally split Israel in two. You know, guarding your heart is not just about your individual life with the Lord. It affects everyone around you. If you don't guard your heart and it becomes toxic, it will affect every relationship. You'll bring it into your city group, your discipleship groups, your workplace, everywhere. This is so massively important because our hearts don't just affect us, they affect everyone around us. And the last reason we have to guard our hearts is because our hearts have been redeemed. Our hearts have been redeemed, but they're not yet perfected. They're not yet perfected. This is what is often called the already not yet of Scripture. Did you know that you have a redeemed heart? So according to the Bible, each and every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And one of the results of that is that we're actually enslaved to our sin. We're enslaved to it. We have to obey it. We follow our sin. That's our natural way of living. So one of the most amazing things about the good news of Jesus Christ is that Jesus actually purchases us back. He purchases us back from slavery. Okay, so we have a slave price upon us because of our sin, and Jesus has paid the price in his blood to redeem us back. There is no other Savior that can bring us out of our Savior, out of our slavery, but Jesus Christ. He's given his blood, the only blood worthy of drawing us out of slavery and making us redeemed sons and daughters of God. If you're in Christ, you've been adopted, you've been redeemed. But your heart isn't yet perfect. It won't be until Christ finally returns and you see him face to face. And as we live in this in-between time, it's a time to guard our hearts. They've already been redeemed and made right before God, but we have to guard them. We have to watch over them with all vigilance until that final day when they're perfected. And one of the most important ways we do that is through taking communion together every week. One of the reasons we celebrate the Lord's Supper together every week is because when we come to the table, we remember the blood shed and the body broken of Jesus Christ. We remember what was necessary to redeem our hearts back from slavery. And we together then commemorate and commit ourselves as we remember. We commit ourselves to guarding our hearts with all vigilance, because from them flow the springs of life. So in a moment, we're going to stand and we are going to worship the God who's given us new hearts. But as we sing in these next three songs, what I want to invite you to do is if your heart belongs wholly to Jesus, you've given him your sin, received his forgiveness, and your heart has been born anew and belongs to him, I want to invite you to come to one of the communion tables. We got two in front, two in back. And I want you to remember the blood that was shed to redeem your heart. And I want you to be strengthened to guard your heart today, this week, and for the rest of our lives. Let's guard our hearts with all vigilance, because from them flow the springs of our whole lives.